Often it's been said, hindsight is 20/20. When something is believed, it tends to also be expected. What if you pursued the potential to know as much at the beginning of the vision as lessons learned at the end? What if the lessons you learned at the end could become an integral part of the original vision? Then you would not have to lean on a contingency plan to make up the pieces. What if you simply believed the best and chose the best? Then you could see God at his best. What God has already deposited in you is his best for you. Here's something I've come to know to be true. Begin to position yourself to withdraw God's vision as it is already known to God. A vision that activates God's voice. A vision that veils all the other abstract portraits. I became first acquainted with grief as a spirit when a former co-worker committed suicide. Having gone to an employee counseling session, I discovered grief had a living personality. So therefore, grief is not an inanimate object. Grief is indeed alive. Grief is operative. Grief is active. But grief is not a part of life, as some suppose. Instead, grief is a part of loss. Loss of fulfillment, loss of enjoyment, loss of hope, loss of opportunity, and that loss breeds lack. Grief creates lack. Days seem too burdensome to face. It seems like it even hurts to breathe. When joy is lost, you will eventually lose your praise. When praise is lost, you will eventually lose your beauty. Grief collaborates with its strongholds to decrease your quality of life. Because grief never leaves you empty-handed, you accept the death rattle as your whole life, not an event only. With this acceptance, you also lose your eventuality, the prospect of a miracle harvest that turns around a bad seed that was sown. Naturally, a seed dies when you plant it, but grief causes you to bury your harvest alive. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it shall sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground, yet through the scent of water it shall bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. Yet through the scent of water it shall bud, and bring forth boughs like a plant. When you lack, you do not have to lose. What you have lost can be restored. When God resuscitates you, your senses are opened up to get a whiff of heaven's historic provision. All your scattered and shattered pieces can be the making of something pretty miraculous. Collaborating into God's masterpiece, you will be ushered into a whole new way of living and working. Therefore, you do not have to see the waters, nor do you have to hear the waters, not even touch the waters. Just smell the scent of water to know God is in position to loose heaven on earth for you. Heaven's healing rain is about to descend on you and yours. Restored pleasure is coming down to lift you up. Restored applause is coming down to lift you up. Restored brilliance is coming down to lift you up through the scent of water. your life and quality of life will bud and breathe forth boughs like a plant. Grief rehearses the past through harassment. It takes hold of past events for one purpose, to haunt you repeatedly. Then your past is always present. Grief also pressures the present through heaviness. It makes life feel like a burden. It adds weight to depress you so you cannot freely cast your cares on the one who cares for you. In that state, your present cannot receive the refreshing currents of the present moment. Then grief paralyzes the future through hopelessness. It stops progress. Your moves have become few and far between until you just define that one moment, not just as an event that it really is, but your eventuality, which represents the rest of your life. So I ask you, what is there that can actually stop you? The presence of mourning overthrows enjoyment. Then it distorts your vision. Your imagination is disfigured so that it misrepresents life as it really can be lived. The presence of heaviness overthrows your appreciation for life, then overloads your ability to be agile. Your pace is impacted by weights. The presence of a sense of ruin overflows beauty, then crushes the thought of restoration. Then you surrender your bright future to your failing past. The presence of mourning overthrows enjoyment. Then it distorts your vision. Your imagination is disfigured so that it misrepresents life as it really can be lived. The presence of heaviness overthrows your appreciation for life, then overloads your ability to be agile. Your pace is impacted by weights. The presence of a sense of ruin overflows beauty, then crushes the thought of restoration. Then you surrender your bright future to your failing past. Now, grief does not have to be long-lived. You can choose its duration. Once you begin to move toward restoring pleasure, you have just made a step away from the pain of the event. Remain stalwart about resisting grief until you are on top and not on the bottom. Until you are the head and not the tail. Until you are first and not last. Until you are ahead only and not beneath ever. With God's miracle touch, you can remember your past without the pain. You can reverse the strongholds of grief. Grief compartmentalizes mourning, heaviness, and ruin. But I can tell you right now that you can sculpt your own grief relief. First, feel thoughts of thanksgiving that adorn your renewed strength. Secondly, refresh others moment by moment to bathe your own self with renewed aspirations. Thirdly, recreate your environment that surrounds you with renewed splendor. I like to share a memory of my meditation time entitled No Wasted Tears. Every tear has watered the soil, pressing through the ground, running deep down to the root. It fueled growth. Now you shall see the fruit of all your labor, and as a memorial, I have each tear in my bottle. There are two parts of a vision, memory and imagination, conception and creation. There is one pleasure that one gets in the vision stage, but there is pain in the provision stage. One you can draw with pleasure, but the other you deliver through pain. From beginning to end, from vision to provision, what if you could conceive and bring to birth a witty invention that worked flawlessly the very first time? Let us first circumvent the standard that hindsight is 2020 is believable, therefore accepted and expected theory. Let us use the authentic biblical example of Noah and the ark to simply arrest all doubt that you have to wait for the finale to be graced with God's best vision. Before Noah, no ark had ever been built. Before Noah, no rain had ever fallen. Before Noah, no flood had ever risen. However, with God, the ark was conceived, birthed, and floated on the waters, giving the story a new dimension. Received by divine influence, Noah abandoned himself to the will of God. As God, being the author and finisher of Noah's faith, he preserved his master plan when Noah became God's masterpiece. Noah brought every piece to God that could have prevented his destiny from unfolding right before his eyes. Therefore, the vision was not docked, nor was it driven, nor did it drown. Noah was divinely directed by the hand of God to orchestrate the phenomenon, because Noah's heart sought God's face, that is, the presence and power of God. The Lord was in Noah's space without any disruption. Noah's own memory and his own imagination could have intercepted God's vision. However, Noah brought them both to God. Look what God built through the hands of Noah. God gave Noah a new picture in his mind's eye, and he brought the ark to life. God planted heaven in the earth when he could unreservedly imagine through Noah. God sculpted Noah's heart and mouth to take him to another level, a bigger, a better, and beyond Noah's memory and imagination. Noah carved out quality time to hear the whispers of the one whose voice is as many mighty waters. So I ask, will you give God the right of way to explore what he can do through you? One of the fragments Noah gave God was his career. By trade, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Because Noah remained transparent about his own level of skill, God was able to transform him into a renowned shipbuilder without a college degree, not even one carpenter class. God anointed Noah to lead his invention because he had the higher thoughts and higher ways of God. Just like Noah, deep calleth unto deep to bring the mysteries of Christ to the surface level. Then you will have the mind of Christ and become a supplier of the anointing to complete the assignment in the earth that God has for you. Noah did not know that he could not complete his assignment. That is the product of possibility thinking. You can retain an image that is bigger, better, and beyond the natural realm. That kind of image can replace your wilderness, the place where there is no way out, the place where there is no escape. that cycle of defeat where you are moving around, but there is no progress. You don't even realize the place where you're traveling has repeated over and over again. So instead, you accept where you are as your final destination instead of a way through the wilderness, not to the wilderness. But you must say in your heart, not this time around. Not this time around. Now let's define your destination then from God's point of view. It is your wealthy place, a place that is moist, a place that receives heaven's abundant rain, a healing rain that relieves your scorched, parched wilderness. When you begin to receive the clean, the cool, the clear, the crisp, the crystallized living waters that cleanse your heart, your hands, your head, and what you hear, your darkest part of the night has just passed. Gloom and doom did not come to stay, it came to pass, and you shall arise from obscurity into the light of day. Whether you are strolling on the sands of good fortune, or you've been rescued from the drowning sea of misfortune, make sure the Lord orders your step in His Word. The Word cleanses you. Allow it to flow daily so you can experience continual bathing to remove every spot and every wrinkle. Because we don't think in words but in pictures, the Word of God prepares us to use our imagination more than our memory. Memory is for history, but your imagination is for history makers. Now, I believe that if you couldn't be successful in this time, you would have been born during another time. Know this, that God's word is bigger than your own. It's better than your own. It's beyond what you can even ask or think. God's word is bigger, better, beyond your own thoughts. Bigger, better, beyond your imagination. Bigger, better, beyond your own customs. Bigger, better, beyond your own perspective. Your vision will always be upgraded to 2020 when you allow God to recreate your self-portrait. You may have to wear corrected lenses so that you can see the image better, or look through a magnifying glass so that you can see the image bigger, or even use a pair of binoculars so that you can see beyond where you are currently. A vision that's better. Mark 8:22-25 describes how a blind man from Bethesda sought Jesus to touch him. After the initial encounter, Jesus asked him, "What do you see?" He replied, "I see men as trees walking." When Jesus touched him again, he was fully and completely restored. He saw better. That's 2020 vision. Jesus can do one thing and everything change in your life. If your faith is currently on trial, keep returning to the healing source until you have nothing missing, nothing lacking, and nothing broken. You will never come up short-changed when you believe to see the goodness of the Lord. God's vision is better. It gives you an upgrade from where you are currently. A vision that's bigger. 2 Kings 6 illustrates how Elisha saw into the unseen realm to view thousands of angel army troops ready for battle that looked like chariots of fire when his servant, couldn't fathom more, was with them than against them. Unfortunately, the servant only saw him and Elisha. But after Elisha prayed to the Lord, his servant's eyes were opened to see everything his master knew was indisputable. When the servant was touched, he could see bigger. In fact, he had heaven's view. That's 20/20 vision. The unseen realm has more validity than what is seen. The Word of God declares, "For the things you see are temporal, but the things unseen are eternal." Having your eyes opened gives you a clear advantage because it confirms you are never outnumbered. God's vision is bigger. It gives you an upgrade from where you are currently. A vision that's beyond. Ezekiel 47th chapter states this story. When God asked Ezekiel, "What do you see?" Ezekiel's response showed how he had revelation that empowered God to lead him to the manifestation. God measured Ezekiel's pace for each step of the way until he went from wading in the water to swimming in the overflow of God's promises. After Ezekiel was touched, he could see beyond where he was. That's 20/20 vision. If the vision God deposited was naturally possible, you would not need him for fulfillment, since God's vision is reserved in the impossible realm. You need him to sculpture the path one step at a time. God's vision is beyond where you are, but it gives you an upgrade from where you are currently. Mankind is God's best work of art, so developing a vision from the Lord's point of view can be yours too. Since the Bible records a donkey seeing into the spirit world, then you know God positioned you much higher than the animal kingdom. God desires you to see him as he is so that you can be as he is in this world. But always seek the Lord, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, not the vision. He will help you write it and to make it plain, because the vision God has for you has a voice. Here are 4 pointers found in Hebrews 11th chapter that will help you to exercise your faith in God to bring what you envision from the unseen to the seen realm. Number 1, see the vision from afar. Clarity allows you to see in the light as well as the dark. Whether it is revealed or manifested, you will never be left in the dark. Number 2, be persuaded of the vision that you see from afar. Be willing to remove all fear, doubt, and unbelief from the picture, whether it is yours or someone else's. Number 3, embrace what you are persuaded of and that the vision that you see from afar. Place yourself living in the vision, not just waiting for it to arrive. Number 4, voice what you embrace that you are persuaded of, the vision you see from afar. Your voiced statements are the dress rehearsal for your on-stage performance. Your life follows your words, because all seen fruit originates from the unseen seed. Beautiful for situation, my life joy, my life praise, my life beauty. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I seek in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. When I cry unto the Lord in trouble, you bring me out of my distress. You make my storm to calm so that the waves are still. You have sculpted relief so I am quiet. You bring me into my desired haven of rest. You have led captivity captive. Turn my captivity as streams in the desert. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I put my trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift my soul unto you. You heal my broken in heart. You bind up my grief. You, O God, did send a plentiful rain, whereby you have confirmed your inheritance when it was weary. You, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. You have increased my greatness, comforted me on every side. All your springs are in me. You have set my hand in the sea and my right hand in the rivers, so my throne shall be as the days of heaven. Let the beauty of the Lord be upon me, the work of our hands be established. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, nor shall fruit be in the vine, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I shall rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he shall make my feet like hinds' feet, and he shall make me to walk upon my high places. For the seed shall be prosperous and peace, nothing missing, nothing lacking, nothing broken. The vine shall give her fruit, and the ground shall give her increase, and the heavens shall give their due. And God shall cause me to possess all these things. As the effects of the curse surround it, so shall I be saved as the blessing. The blessing shall flow as far as the curse is found. Drop down, you heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. And I will bring the blind by the way they know not, and I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them, and crooked place straight. These things will I do unto them, and not forsake them. The wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands, and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. He shall come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert, and the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land streams of water. In the habitation of dragons, where they lay, shall be grass and reeds and rushes, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, though shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, neither any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away, because they cannot dwell in the same place at the same time. Blessed are those whose soul beside all waters, that send forth hither the feet of the ox and the ass. Wisdom redeems the time of harvest, and redemption gives you an upgrade.